All right. Well, good afternoon. My name is Stacy Kyle. I'm with a private nonprofit called AHEAD, and we provide employment and training services to folks with a variety of disabilities. And I was asked to participate in this conference today because I also head up one of our business-led initiatives called the Pennsylvania Business Leadership Network. And that's where we get businesses talking to other businesses about not just why it's a good idea to hire people, but how in the world do you make it work? And really trying to create that business-friendly environment where folks can learn and folks can become exposed to folks and really learn how to make all of those things fall into place and understanding what it does bring to the workplace, not just a great employee, but it's certainly all of the bottom-line business reasons, the customers that it can attract, the customer loyalty that it can give you. So, you know, we really have a lot of companies who are involved with us, and I'm happy to say that here today we have Giant. And Giant has been a very good partner of AHEAD and a number of other organizations that are out in the community, and they certainly have been a supporter of the Pennsylvania Business Leadership Network. And before we get started, I guess I have a couple of housekeeping things to remind people about. One, when it's time to ask questions, raise your hand and I'll get you the microphone because we are audio recording this session, so we don't want to miss anything. We need you to talk into the microphone. We're going to try to keep this pretty informal here. I think there's a little less folks in the room than we had expected. Now, just to give us a sense, can you give me an idea of how many of you are job seekers yourself right now? Okay. One. Two. Okay, three. All right. How many of you are parents? Okay, that was about maybe five. And how many of you are maybe support service folks? Okay, that's about another four people in the room. So that gives you an idea of who's here. And we'll try to tailor then what we were going to do. Again, today I think what we wanted to do was kind of focus on the whole getting hired piece and how folks should be representing themselves to attract themselves to businesses. So what I'm going to do is I want to first start, and I'm going to let our two guests up front here introduce themselves and just kind of let this session unfold. And at the very end, we'll stop about 10 minutes early so that you can fill out your review form that I'm told is in your folder for this session. So I need to remind you that you need to complete that. We'd really appreciate your feedback. So Jay, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself, where you work, and give us a little history of your success at Giant.
Okay, my name is Jay, and I work for Giant Food Stores. And at the moment, I'm in between stores. Today is my last day in Willow Grove, and I'll be in the Southampton store starting on Monday. I've been with the company about 15 years. I had a lot of success when I was into the Ben Salem store. I dealt with Patty from AHEAD. So we have a lot of success stories that, you know, we could bring to you and explain what Giant, our food store, what we're looking for in an associate, how would you go about getting the job there, what they're looking for in an interview, some of the questions that may be asked, so you know that person is prepared to go in and sell themselves for that job.
Right, and thanks, Jay. And I do want to point out to folks that Giant is just one example of a business that's involved with our Pennsylvania Business Leadership Network. And a lot of times, folks out in the community, like the service providers, might wonder, how in the world can we use the Business Leadership Network to help us with what we're doing? Well, sometimes when they're working with individuals and trying to find them a job at a particular employer, maybe that employer isn't comfortable, or you're sensing that they just don't understand what the needs of that individual are. Oftentimes, you can contact the BLN, that we call it for short, instead of the full name Business Leadership Network. That's a mouthful. You can contact the BLN, and you can say, hey, Stacy, do you have another company that's very similar to this one or is in this geographical area or whatever other criteria you want to give us? And say, Do you think we could get another employer to contact that company person and just have a discussion with them about what they've gotten out of their experiences and their successes and what they, you know, maybe have a little behind the closed door kind of conversation between business to business to hopefully get folks to go over their hurdles? Because, again, you know, I believe that most employers and most people in general want to do the right thing. I think that a lot of times it's just they're not comfortable. They've maybe never been exposed to folks with particular disabilities before. And we really do try to approach this from a business to business and a business friendly standpoint. So if there's any way that we can help any of you chat with another company in the area that maybe you wanted to go work for, or you know, you're feeling some resistance at a place where you're already working, and maybe that employer you just don't think is just not understanding the accommodation request that you're asking for, you know, maybe this is something that we can kind of give you a little bit of guidance on, and maybe connect you to another local company that might be able to kind of be a mentor to that company. Hey, it's worth a shot, and believe it or not, sometimes it works. So, Nina, I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about your role at Giant, how long you've been there, and tell us a little bit about your journey into getting employment.
I went blind in 1988, and the first thing I did was go out and get a job as a realtor. I was the second blind realtor in the country, the first one in Pennsylvania. So it can be done. And one of the questions I was asked at that time was, how does a blind person sell real estate? And my response was, very carefully. And from that, I developed a motivational talk that I give to colleges, universities, industry, businesses, so forth. And I've been doing this since 1991. About 6.5 years ago, I was called by a lady by the name of Toni McGuigan, and she worked for the Blind and Visual Services in the state of Pennsylvania. She said, I need a favor of you. She said, what's that? So I want you to go and apply for a job at Giant Supermarkets in Van Salem. Well, it's right down the street. It's like about a mile away from my home. I went in and I spoke with Jay. Jay is the customer operations manager, or was, at our store at that time. And after a short interview, not a long one, Jay hired me. I was the first blind person to work for Giant Supermarkets. My function initially was just bagging groceries. Now, how does a totally blind person bag groceries? Very carefully. So, Jay took a chance by hiring me. The company now has, I think it's 22, mm-hmm. 22 blind people working in their stores throughout the state of Pennsylvania and Virginia. I now do motivational talks for Giant and also on my own, and I still back at Giant. But I've been there 6.5 years. So it can be done. I think the whole answer here is, what can you do? I was asked a question at one of my sessions. The question was, well, as a blind person, what can't you do? Well, in my view, there's only one thing that I may not be able to do. And even that I would, you know, question, and that's drive a car. But I question that. I mean, in an emergency,
I'm willing to give him a shot.
I probably would do it. I think the point that I'm trying to make is, if you want to get out there, you can. There is always a way.
Now, what recommendations would either one of you have for the parents in the room as they're looking at encouraging their young ones to go out and pursue employment? Are there any things that you would recommend to them? And think along the lines of, you know, have you had parents coming in along for interviews?
We've had both.
Okay.
Well, at first, when Nino came to us, the company called me and said that we would like you to interview a blind person for a job. Well, first of all, my best friend is blind. So I did have some experience with that disability. And I said to them, I said, okay, since you've called me and said that we're going to do this interview, does this person have the job already? Okay, what kind of interview am I doing? Do they have the job? And that they said to me was, you do the interview like you would do an interview for anybody else. Anybody else. So that's what I did. They said that after the interview, if you feel that Nino could do the job, then you hire him like you would anybody else. And if you felt like that he couldn't, then you don't. But you treat them like anybody else. Sometimes the parents do come with them for moral support, and sometimes they don't. I've had interviews with when Patty comes. She's a job coach. So it's all kinds. But what you have to realize is that don't hold back. Go for it. What do you have to lose? Now, I'm not saying that you're going to go to every interview and it's going to go great. I'm not saying that. I'm saying go out and do the best job you can do in wowing them. Sell yourself to them. Let them know what your strengths are. What can you do?
So maybe some of the advice that you're giving to parents is to also help your young ones figure out what are your strengths and how are you going to go in and even initially introduce yourself to the employer. Are you going to start off with negatives by saying, hi, I have a learning disability and I can't do this and I can't do that? That's not really selling yourself. So I think the more practice you can get at home before you send people out, I mean, we all need practice to doing that. I think we have a question here.
Can I?
Before,
okay.
Earlier you talked about getting the interview questions. Is that like a possibility, even from a parent or a provider, to go into my local giant, let's say, and say, my 15-year-old wants a job, he's got somewhat disability. Is it possible to get some of those questions prior to my child or my client filling out?
I brought those questions with
me. Okay.
Oh, awesome.
I have a packet if you'd like. They can make copies of it, or you can have this. It doesn't, you know, I have plenty back at the store. And it just goes over some very basic questions that they're going to be asked and be prepared for. They could ask, what are your strengths? They could say, and one of the questions in here is, we can talk about your strong points, but what do you need to work on? There's going to be all kinds of questions out there as you do an interview. They're going to vary as you go from place to place. But, you know, the number one thing about it is don't give up. Don't give up. This guy, I've learned a saying that he brought up, I think, in one of the first talks that we did together, was called the poor me syndrome. All right? If that's the attitude you have, the poor me syndrome, then you'll sit at home on the couch, watch TV, and accomplish nothing. But if you say to yourself, I'm not that person. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to make something of myself. Get up and go out and do it. Be productive. Go out and do what you want to do, and don't let anything hold you back. Nothing, ever.
And, Nino, you wanted to add something as well.
Yeah, I want to talk to the parents. I'm a parent. I have 6 children, 18 grandchildren. So I think I know where I'm coming from. Parents have a tendency to protect their children. Sometimes rightfully so, sometimes to the point of becoming enablers. And I'm not throwing stones, believe me, I'm not throwing stones. However, I was involved in one of my real estate transactions where the mother had a daughter that was blind. And she could not, she would not send her child to a rehab because she felt that the child couldn't do it. My response to this woman was, and this is why some people like me and some people don't. My response to the woman was, tell me, what's going to happen to your daughter when you die? Is she going to be able to take care of herself? As it turned out, this lady didn't slap me or kick me out of the house. She listened. And this child went to school and is now in college. So the point that I'm making is don't say, no, you can't do it to your child. Say, yes, try. Thank you.
And I think in working with organizations like An Ahead or the other service providers who are out there, certainly trying to make that connection with those kinds of organizations early on while they're still in school is crucial. I think any kind of work experience and any kind of career exploration that those organizations can help your child make is really going to impact how successful they're going to be when they're actually ready to transition. And, you know, and if you waited maybe longer than you wanted to, you go with what you got at the time and you try to get them connected with whatever support they can get, because those organizations will have insight to what certain companies ask in interviews or any kinds of testing or things that they do. They will be aware of that. They might be able to do what we call community-based work assessments. So if you're not quite sure what you want to do with yourself, you're not quite sure what you're capable of doing, we might be able to get those kinds of opportunities set up for you where you can go to certain job sites, try out certain types of tasks to see, is this even an area that should be pursued at this point for someone? And that kind of is what I think of when Nino says, you know, don't tell them no. If they really want to do something, let them try it out. Let them explore it. You know, maybe if they want to be a doctor, maybe that might not work out for them. Maybe it will. You know, but, you know, if you start saying, well, what are the things that you need to do as a first step to becoming a doctor? Well, let's take a look at the classes that you're taking in high school. You know, if you're not doing well at certain things, you know, is there something you can do to turn that around in your schoolwork? If that's not an option, is there anything else that's medically related that may not necessarily make you a doctor if you realize that, wow, I can't even pass physics in high school, or I can't even pass biology in high school, I might have some difficulties in becoming a doctor, but maybe I could go to a medical assistant training program and start by becoming a medical assistant. And then maybe after I do that for a while, maybe I could work my way up to the next level. Trying to find your niche, but rather than just saying no to people, I think organizations really can provide that extra support and that extra exploration, where sometimes maybe as a family, time is short, or you don't know where to go, you don't know who would be able to give that kind of guidance. That's really something that I think should be started before the students leave school. We got another question here.
What age do you recommend you go to places like AHEAD? I mean, some places don't take them until they're 17, and let's say you've got a 15-year-old ready to go to work with disabilities. Is that when we contact the agencies?
I'll go ahead and answer that if that's okay, Patty. I think you should contact them as soon as possible. Some organizations might not currently have funding at a particular time for a particular age group, but you never know. I think at least getting them connected soon and certainly having them evaluated while they're still in high school by maybe the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation before they graduate, make sure that assessment stuff is done before they get out of school so that it's an easy transition, that you're not sitting there waiting another 6 months or so after they get out of school to be deemed eligible for support services. But I think, you know, we've had, at AHEAD, we've had certain contracts where we've been able to work in the school systems with youth of a certain age. It just depends on what kind of funding we have at a particular time. Typically, you know, the system is going to look at the schools to provide that. So, like at AHEAD, again, we've had direct contracts with some school districts across the state. Years back, we had like a 5-year grant that was a federal grant that allowed us to dangle free services out to school districts. It was like 90 days of free services for a student. And then basically after 90 days, we said, well, if you like what you saw, whether it was career exploration activities, you know, community-based work assessments, what have you, you know, what do you have in your budget to be able to continue this relationship? And through that, that allowed us to start contracting. Now, again, we're not where we want to be with our relationship with school districts. All school districts handle their transition services very differently. And probably many of you know better than I do that you're, as a parent, you're the strongest voice to getting what you want your children to have. There are some school districts that only funnel students into one choice for transition. And, you know, we as an agency can go at them and say, you know, you really should be giving them choice. Not everybody wants to go that option. Some people really do want community employment. But really it's going to come from parents going in and saying, no, this isn't good enough. They need to have more of a choice. And that might spur some more to start up relationships. And again, whether it's with a head or not, I mean, we don't really care who you connect with or what is, who a school connects with. We just want students to have a choice and have a community employment option rather than, you know, maybe a just a workshop option. Okay.
I was just going to say, I'm Patty Hammer, by the way, from a head, and I don't like public speaking, so I'm going to sit down. No, I am a job coach, and I do assist in the whole placement activity, including helping them find the job, interviewing skills once they receive the job, the on-site training and follow along, any counseling on the job. So, like I said, I've worked with Jay at Giant, and we also assisted Nino just to get him started on the job. But anyway, that's a little bit about who I am sitting here. And your question was, I forget, about OVR. Yes, and I forget what I was going to say. Yes, I would get hooked up. There was something else I was going to say, but I would get registered with OVR or the funding source as soon as possible. Is everybody familiar with the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation? No. I would at least call them and find out when should you be getting your child registered. They'll tell you. So you can get them in the system. Same with Bucks County MHMR. Depending upon the disability, they may already be in the system from a young age. But you really need to, because that funding is very limited. And you don't want to wait till they're graduated. Because then the parents are yelling, oh my gosh, what do I do now? My child's sitting home and there's no funding and what do I do? So, and then they come to us, but we really can't do anything without the funding source unless you have a lot of money to pay private services, private fee with us. But I would just suggest highly getting in touch with your funding source. And they really won't fund until the child is either 18 or graduated, so they want the school system to do all they can for them in there. And I would suggest vocational training throughout high school, because when we do get them and work with them as adults, it just makes the whole transition process smoother once they've had some experience in the job field and whatnot. And I was going to say something else important, but now it skipped my mind. Okay.
And I would also recommend, you know, of course we want the youth to work. If that seems like a hard thing to get to at the particular time that you're starting to think about it, you know, it's going to be a journey to get there, you know, is there some sort of volunteer experience that they can be involved in right now, too? I think, you know, if you've got something going, a program going on at the church that they can be involved in and participate in, that's going to look great to have something to show an employer when they go to get that first job, and certainly getting them to maybe do some more interactive communication skills, to learn how to work on task or work with other people if they're not at that point already and have that. I just, you know, really encourage you to look at those volunteer opportunities too, especially when they're younger and aren't quite ready yet to get into a job. Let me do a time check here real quick. Okay. All right.
Hi. I wanted to know, does Giant do sensitivity training?
I think it's great, wonderful that you all hire. Mm-hmm. But there's like another really big piece there, that which is why parents tend to be so protective.
Can I say something?
Because Nino's big on this.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, I wish we had a plan that we could bring this to every store and explain the sensitivity training to them. But we don't. I wish I could say that every time you go out for a job interview, it's going to be a great experience. That's not going to happen. At this point in time, it's the individual and their experiences and their experience and at Giant. So, no.
But, Jay, tell them what you did in your orientation for new staff.
Well, what I did was, because after Nino joined us, and just so you understand, I think he's an amazing man. I really do. He is an amazing man. We ruined the dog. We did. This is our first experience with it. My best friend does not have a dog. I wish he did, but he doesn't. Doesn't feel comfortable with it. But we ruined the first dog. I ruined the first dog. I kept Scooby snacks in my drawer for him. But I learned. I learned how to handle a guide dog. And what I do now is that every orientation I do, which I will try to offer up as much information as possible, that includes how to handle a guide dog. It's really, really important. Number one, Nino must have the trust in that dog, 100%. The dog that we ruined. How did we ruin it? Well, Nino and his wife were walking through Trader Joe's, an organic store, and they were sampling cheese. Little kid takes a sample of the cheese, and the dog's name was Spirit. And Spirit went for the cheese. Why did he go for the cheese? Because I ruined him. And he nipped the little guy's finger, and of course, the mom went berserk. But, you know,
rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Spirit was a big dog, really big dog. So it was a lot of learning for everybody. And now I include that in my orientation with every associate that we hire, to make sure they understand what they can and cannot do when it comes to a guide dog.
And I will say that I actually live up in Camp Hill near Harrisburg, so I'm by their corporate office. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that Giant does do regarding diversity, which, of course, includes disability. And there are a number of companies that I've been involved with who do, whether it be quarterly disability awareness type training for their staff, because, for instance, Highmark has been our lead company for the Business Leadership Network since we started back in 2000. And they do quarterly sessions for their employees at both campuses in Camp Hill and in Pittsburgh. And each one of their sites, at least before the recession, had 5,000 or so people working at each one of those sites. And when they started doing them, they started getting over 200 people attending each one of them. That's a lot of people to take time out. They kind of like do a brown bag lunch so people can kind of bring their lunches down and listen, and every time it's a different topic. But what they found is not only did it help with workplace, like worker-to-worker kinds of issues that might be going on, they started to realize that people like Tracy work there and that Tracy might have a child with a disability, and that, wow, Tracy now really appreciates the fact that Highmark's helping her to learn a little bit more about how she can better support somebody in her life and get resources and things, and it makes her feel better about working at Highmark. And again, when you get into the whole work-life balance stuff that employers are looking at, you know, when we come at them from a business perspective and tell them why they should be doing disability awareness, these are the kinds of things I tell them. Like, because, you know, you really speak volumes to your employees when you outreach like that. And just the goodwill that's come back from the employees toward their employer for offering that is phenomenal. So that's something that, you know, maybe, Jay, you and I can work on to kind of get, you know, you get into some logistics issues, too, when you're dealing with a store.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't just pull everybody out of the store all at one time, you know. Well, gosh darn it, those giants are like 24 hours.
Stacy, in the early 90s, me and another lady did 7,000 employees at Merck. And what we do was a little at a time, 2 days a week, we would go in and give them sensitivity and safety talks. And we were able to cover 7,000 people in 18 months. So it can be done. Pardon me. The thing is that it has to be sold to the employee, to the employer. And it is hard, but it can be done. And thank you for bringing that up.
Because we're trying.
We're trying.
We are trying very much. Now, Nina went out and did a talk. We have a position in our store called C, Store Employment Associate. And basically, they're in charge of hiring, interviewing, orientations. Nina went out and did a talk for all our Cs, a sensitivity training for that. Now, it was for how many districts? Just the one?
Just the one.
It was just for one district. But we tried to reach out. Now, that one district was 14 stores. So they were, 14 stores were there and heard what Nino had to say. And, you know, hopefully they took a lot out of it. But as a company, when you have 200 associates in every single store approximately, it's very hard to get them all together and to do that kind of training. But we're working on it.
And I've actually even worked with, like, Walmart, obviously very similar in the fact that they've got stores all over the place and they're operating in districts. And when they'd have, like, district managers meetings mm-hmm. is when I went in and did some things, like, up in the Schuylkill County area. They kind of met
yes.
in that region. And we did some really cool things. And that particular region's pretty awesome for Walmart, especially up in that region. We have a question here in the back. I'm coming to you.
Giant sounds great, and I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing for our children and our people. I also want to know, do you have like a list of other agencies or other stores or programs that can offer or at least is doing something along the same line as Giant is?
Usually when people ask me for lists, that's a really difficult thing to just hand somebody. What I suggest is that if you're a service provider and you want to call and you want to chat with me about, not the specifics of the name of somebody you're working with, but, hey, I've got somebody, here's what they want to do, maybe we can work together on, in that region, who are the contacts that we have in that region, and how might what might be our plan together to approach them. Because some of those businesses, it might be better for me to contact first because they might be new to the world that we're talking about today, and I might be like, oh, she's not going to care. Go ahead and call her, or go ahead and call him. They're not going to care. Tell them I told you to call. I just hate to hand out a list because we have some different relationships with employers, and I don't want people to be disappointed, and at the same time, I don't want our employers to be overwhelmed. But we do want to try to make sure that we find ways to make the rubber meet the road. So again, I encourage you that, you know, if you're also a job seeker, and if you don't mind us circulating your resume, why don't you grab my card before you leave? Email me your resume. I'll take a look at it. I might even suggest a couple of improvements to it before I forward it out because I don't want to forward out anything that I think is really off mark with how a resume should be formatted. And then if you don't mind me circulating that through the Business Leadership Network, we'll circulate that to businesses in a particular region. And I'm telling you, those who are involved with our Business Leadership Network love that. They eat that up. They tell me, send more. Again, I know we're in a recession. They're still hiring. They might not be hiring at the levels that they were before, but they still got to replace people that leave. And they might not be posting all of those jobs out for like a million people to compete for all at the same time. So you might have to go after them and make sure you're sharing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's free. Do you want to know if kind of collaborating with the Business Leadership Network was free. Yes, it is. Because it's free to business. And again, businesses are our primary focus for our BLN. We want to make them feel comfortable. We're trying to do things that are educational, things that, you know, we've had some disability mentoring type events where it's practice interviewing, where we bring employers into contact with some local candidates in the area. And that's a great way for both sides to get exposure to each other in a non-threatening way. And while there's no guarantees that employment will happen in those kinds of events, it's amazing. We just did a couple of them. We had a series that are set up at each one of the career links in Philadelphia. And it wasn't anything we promoted to the public because we targeted certain agencies to send a certain number of folks. Because, you know, logistics-wise, a career link can't handle like a million people all in there at the same time. So we didn't, you know, want to flood them any more than they already are. But, you know, one of the ones that we did, we actually had an individual there who happened to be deaf. And she was very, very good with math. She's excellent with math. Independence Blue Cross said, we want to bring her in for like a real interview. And the job's an accounting assistant position, and it even seems like it's beneath her, but it's all we have open, math related right now, and that might be a way to get her in the door into the company and have her prove herself so that when the other things start opening up, perhaps she can advance. Now, I don't know what happened with that. I don't know if she actually, you know, got that interview, but I'm like, wow, to me, that like the cool things that happen from just exposing when an employer actually realizes who we're talking about. You know, not everybody's a cookie cutter. Everybody's has different abilities, different strengths. Jay, maybe what you can do is share some of the things that you're looking for in an employee at Giant.
Okay.
What are the most important things?
Well, what's the number one thing when you walk into an office? First impression. Okay? First impression. It means so much when you walk into an employer looking for a job. So to me, that means a lot. So you come dressed for the job.
And what does that mean?
That means come dressed appropriately. Don't come in t-shirts and jeans, and you're looking for a job. You're trying to make an impression on the person that's doing the interview because you want that job. So you have to sell yourself like everybody else. Do you know how many people out there are trying to sell themselves?
Yeah, you're really competing with everybody now, so you need to do something to set yourself above. And, you know, my biggest thing is during the summer, I was out getting ice cream with my mother, and I saw these two young females going into an ice cream place to interview. They had flip-flops on and shorts. And I thought, okay, I know you're going to work for an ice cream place, and maybe you're not going to wear an evening gown to go to the interview, but could you at least look like you really want the job? In my head, I'm thinking, could you at least look like you really want the job and look a little bit more put together than you just got off the beach bus on the way back? And
or the earring in the nose, something.
The earrings and the things like that, you know, trying to make a plan before the interview of getting them out. And, yeah, not everybody accepts those things.
Right. It shows you're taking it seriously. You have to show that this is serious, that you want this job. And I think it's great the way you said it. It's about getting your foot in the door. Get your foot in the door. After that, the sky's the limit. Just get your foot in the door. Make an impression.
Well, those who are interested in finding a job, or who will soon be interested in finding a job, do you want to quickly share with me some of your strengths? Would anybody like to share a strength that you would share with an employer? Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not over here with the microphone. I forgot my job.
Well, I find myself more computer savvy than most because I've used technology from a very young age.
Okay. And what software have you used?
Word, PowerPoint, and Excel.
Very important. If I can take that back. It's very important if you're going to tell people you're computer savvy, then make sure you tell them specifically in what. Because you might tell me you're computer savvy, and then I find out You just know how to get on the internet, which might be a good thing for the job you're going for, but it's helpful if I'm looking for somebody to do some typing of letters and things, that you know how to use Word. So thanks for sharing. Yes, yes. We're going to start filling out the surveys here very soon that people are handing out, but we're going to take a couple of more people sharing their strengths.
I'm more of an organized person. Like, I like to organize things.
Now, that's a great strength. Great strength. That's a much better thing to lead off with in an interview, or to say, hey, I'm really interested in working for you at Giant, and I just want to let you know before we get into talking more about this job that I'm a very organized person, and that if I'm going to step up toward her, and that if there's anything that you would need me to do regarding computers as well, I'm very savvy in working with Word, Excel, and whatever else, PowerPoint. Let's talk about how I can use my strengths at Giant. Wow, isn't that like positive?
Yes, it is.
And I think if you can start to craft what that initial introduction you're going to do, I mean, don't take over the interview, let the employer interview you, but I think if you can get that little positive step right off the bat and saying what your strengths are and let's talk about what I can do for you and where you think I'll fit in well, wow, that makes me go, oh, I really want to talk to Will a little more. He's really excited, and he has some confidence in himself. So thanks for sharing, Will. Anybody else back here?
In an office work, I like doing some like filing work, and I like to do some building on the computer. When I used to do my work when I was at PDDC, and it was good, but it wasn't too bad at all. But I enjoy, love doing it too. I never probably used that computer for doing any work on that computer. No problem at all.
Wonderful. I heard confidence in that voice. I know what I like to do, and he also shared that he used to do that work at PDDC. So that kind of makes me, as an employer, to say, tell me more about what you did at PDDC. Or I might say, what does PDDC stand for? So be prepared to let people know exactly who that is. But that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing. Anybody else want to share?
More of a question, maybe to Jay. If I'm walking in there saying, I love working with other people, I'd love to be social, are you looking at that as a strength? Or I don't know if that's like something. I know I had someone walk in and say, I love working with other people.
What is that business? What is our business?
People.
It is people.
Right.
Okay. It is a complete people person business. So, yes, that's a plus. Absolutely. You got to have upbeat people. People are willing to be outgoing and talk to other people. Yeah, definitely.
And Jay does a good point. What is that business? Part of the thing that you should be doing when you're getting ready to go interview is before you get there, Jay, would you agree, before you get there, know a little bit of something about that company.
Absolutely.
Because if you walk in and you sit down and you want to talk to me about a job and you're like, I don't even know what you do here, I'm going to be thinking, oh, my gosh, did you just, like, throw something up on a wall and whatever stuck? Is that where you decided to go interview? That's not the kind of focus that I want. So certainly if you're the job seeker, if you're the parent, really help and work together on, you know, well, before you go, what are some of those steps of things that you should know? Maybe you're not going to know everything, but do a little homework so you can share that you know some stuff. Nino.
When I started working at Giant, I said to myself, these are people. These are people that I go to church with. Pardon me. These are people that I see on the street. I made it a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I have people coming through the line, and honestly, I don't know how I get away with it. I'll stand there, and if these
he
people
the
are
boss.
Having a problem, like cancer or just having a bad day, I'll stand there and talk it out with them. The line may grow, and I hold the line up. I'm not saying that everybody should do this, but this is how I do it. The person is most important because they're coming in. They're spending their time in that store, and they're spending their money. So I want to be there for them. Now, I am not any better than anyone else. But remember this, Giant took a chance with me. Now there are 22 blind people working in Giant stores. What's that say?
Absolutely. Good point, Nina. We got somebody over here that had a question?
No, I just have a comment. I teach life skills, and my students participated in mock interviews. One student in particular stood out with actually the person that was interviewing him was the new director from Bucks County Intermediate Unit, and what he was most impressed about was the fact that the student made eye contact shook his hand. Now, he couldn't answer any of the questions in the interview, but the fact that he shook his hand and he made eye contact really impressed this gentleman.
Beyond belief, that is just fantastic you brought that up, because that means so much right there.
Sure.
It really does. It means a lot. And, you know, we're talking about getting experience in mock interviews. And, okay, so how do you start off with that? Right there. Okay, I've worked with Patty. Right there, ahead. These are the people that help you out with that. These are the people that prepare you for that. So the people, when they come and do an interview with me, they're ready. They're ready for it. It's actually impressive what you do, Pat.
And we do have a number of employers that we've really gained recently here in the Philadelphia region through a lot of efforts we've been doing with the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce and also with the Sierra Group Foundation. They've been really promoting the BLN to a number of companies who want to be engaged. So, again, I encourage you, if you have resumes of candidates that would even like just to start out by getting a mock interview, send me the resume and let me know that. We'll find folks that will be willing to do the mock interview. You wouldn't necessarily need to be hooked up with a head or something for that, but why not just start the process and at least get some feedback as to, before I really send them out there to go for real, what are they not doing well at? Because, you know, you may think as a parent or as a life skills person, all right, well, they're kind of doing okay on this, but I don't know how they're going to be with somebody else, because they're comfortable with me. How are they going to operate out there? And if you know that there's somebody who's open, who's knowing that they're going to get a wide range of candidates coming in the door and they aren't scared by that, that's a pretty good trial run to get started.
For someone who's never had a job before, what would you put on a resume as far as their skill set?
Okay, for someone who's never had a job before, what do you put on a resume? Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Mary Jo.
Sure. I think you put any types of activities that you engage in, whether it's volunteer, you're part of a church, any types of specific skills that you have practiced or done in terms of, you don't have to have experience in a job, but what types of marketable skills might you have? Do you know, pardon me, awards in high schools, activities you participated in school, volunteerism, but also, again, if you know how to use a computer, what types of things you can do on a computer, if you know how to, you know, be timely and reliable and those types of things.
We can probably take, like, one more question, and hopefully everybody's filling out the review form for folks so she can get them on the way out the door. Okay, 2 more minutes. Does anybody want to give another question or comment?
Can I say something again? As usual, I open my mouth too much. But, Jay, after he hired me about 6 months later, a friend of mine from church who happened to be blind, but he was legally blind, he had some sight. I don't. I'm total. Came in and said to me, what do you think? You think they'll hire me? Well, I sent him in to Jay, and Jay immediately hired him. Now, this guy has some sight. He started as a backer, and after a few months came to me and said, you know, the maintenance man quit. He said, you think I can do it? I said, do you think you can do it? He says, yeah. I said, well, go talk. He went in, and he became the new maintenance man at Giant Ben Sale.